Do you remember where we were last week? We came up to that puzzling statement that said, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law but under grace." Remember, we came to that puzzling statement, and I said, "Okay, well, what does that mean? You know, it's how do we even begin to understand this a statement like this? Sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace." And I said, "Well, ordinarily, I understand under law to mean someone who is halakhically Jewish or someone who has become a proselyte to become halakhically Jewish, someone who's legally Jewish. So does that even make sense? For sin will have no dominion over you since you are not Jewish, but under grace." It doesn't make sense. That reading doesn't really work for us this time. So are we missing something? This is kind of puzzling. And I thought, well, let's look at a few other versions. It's always fun to look at different versions. That's the English Standard Version. So the New International Version says, "For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." So it's the implication seems to be that as long as you are required to keep the law, sin is your master. But as long as you're not required to keep the law, then sin doesn't have control over you. And there is a certain logic to this, I suppose, since if you're not required to keep the law, then it wouldn't be a sin to break it. So then it's not sin anymore. Right? Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You're right. So let's try another one. This one's the New Living Translation. "Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace." I love the New Living Translation, because the New Living Translation really lets you know, you know, it just really lets you know what the Bible is supposed to mean. You know, it doesn't pull any punches with importing its theology into the translation. You know, it's a paraphrase. So it's always fun to read the New Living Translation for that reason. But honestly, I find this verse quite perplexing and difficult. A difficult passage of Paul, because it obviously can't mean what it sounds like it's saying. I mean, there's no logic to it. What, are Jewish people not under grace? You know, Jewish people don't have grace. You know, a Jewish believer how are we to even begin to wrap our minds around this? So it's very puzzling. So I thought, you know, the first thing we should do is begin by trying to nail down a little tighter this concept called under the law. And if you suffered through the book of Galatians with me a couple years ago, or read my book on Galatians, you're already going to be familiar with this. Because in the book of Galatians, that's the first place we encounter this terminology of under the law. And so we had to nail it down there. But to briefly review, Paul's really the only guy who uses this term, under the law. What does he mean by it? Well, traditionally, it's been understood to mean under Judaism. Someone who is under the law is under the authority of Judaism, and Christ sets you free from the law by taking you out of Judaism and into Christianity. That's the traditional interpretation. All right. Another way of expressing this is to say, under the Old Testament. So the Old Testament had its thing going on, and then Christ came and he set people free from being under the Old Testament and brought them into the New Testament. It's just another way of saying the same thing. Yet another way that people understand under the law is bondage. Bondage to literally obey the commandments of God. And this is never really well thought out, but this is the way people think about it. It's like, well, the letter of the law. Under the law is having to keep the letter of the law. which means having to keep what the Bible really says. Whereas, you know, in the spirit and under grace, we shouldn't have to be so careful about keeping the law literally. We get the gist of it, is kind of, that's another. Or how about legalism? Under the law means earning your salvation, that you have to keep these commandments to earn your salvation. So these are different traditional explanations. My explanation of under the law, and we still have to we'll test drive it around tonight. My explanation is that under the law refers to someone who's Jewish, because that person is then under the Torah, under the authority of the Torah. The Torah has authority in his or her life, and he's part of the covenant that is expressed in the Torah. So I understand under the law to mean someone who's Jewish, or someone who has just who wasn't Jewish but has become Jewish. That's my explanation. We'll see if it works or not. And then I guess you could broaden that a little bit and say that under the law is obligation to obey the Torah as a Jewish person. So, what does that mean? Well, there I'm bringing up this critical issue of distinction again, that not all of the commandments in the law apply to everybody equally, and in fact there are several commandments, quite a few, that are specifically incumbent upon the Jewish people and not upon non-Jews. All right, so that's sounding very familiar to what we learned in the book of Galatians. So let's go drive it around in Galatians. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3 if you have a Bible with you. I'm starting in Galatians because Galatians is, even though Romans comes earlier in your Bible than Galatians, Galatians is, of course, the oldest of Paul's epistles. So this is where he first coins the term, so far as we know. So here's the very first instance of this puzzling term under the law. Galatians chapter 3. And you know, sometimes it's the Greek isn't always the same for under the law. Sometimes it's in the law, sometimes of the law, sometimes under the law. The prepositions move around a little bit. And I've tried to look at it very closely and say, is there some significance to the changing prepositions? And I can't see that there is. It just looks like it's all kind of the same. I could be wrong. I probably spent about 5 minutes thinking about it. So, it's not like I did some thorough, exhaustive study or something. But our English versions generally ignore the changing prepositions on it. Sometimes there's a definite article with law, sometimes there isn't. So sometimes it's under law, sometimes under the law. You know, is there a significance to those? You know, some scholar should figure that out and write a book. And maybe we'd read it, but probably not. Okay, so Galatians chapter 3:23. This is our first one we're going to look at. Galatians 3:23. Here's what it says. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So there you got under twice. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. All right, great. That's it. That's the first instance of under the law. One of a very poor translation, if I do say so myself. If you've been through Hayesod with us, you're also going to be familiar with this material. But when Paul makes reference to the law being a guardian, he says, so the law was our guardian. Actually, the word he uses is pedagogue, which is in our culture, pedagogue means basically a tutor, but not in Paul's culture. In Paul's culture, a pedagogue was a certain slave in your household that took care of your kids. And specifically, your pedagogue was responsible for keeping your kids out of trouble. And so the pedagogue would set up the schooling. The pedagogue would bring your child to school. and make sure that his education, he was getting all his education, and then make sure that he didn't get in trouble at school. He'd be hanging around there, and then he'd bring him back home for you at night. And there was none of this, you know, hanging out with the other teenagers going on when you had a pedagogue hovering over you all the time. That's what a pedagogue is. So the pedagogue is actually, you know, the way this sounds, it just sounds terrible. This sounds just horrible. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming of faith. Well, this is maybe the way a teenager would translate it, you know, who's feeling that way. But no, this should be translated like this. It should be something like, no, before faith came, see how I messed with your translation? We were supervised under the law, protected until the coming faith would be revealed. He's speaking of the Jewish people and how the Torah protected Jewish culture and the Jewish people up until this great moment of the coming of Messiah. So that's our first... So here's my question. Does my definition then of under the law as Jewish work in this verse? Before faith came, we were supervised as being Jewish, protected until the coming faith would be revealed. I think so. I think that works fairly well there. All right, next one. Just moves up a little bit. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Says, but when the fullness of time had come, see, we're still talking about the same thing, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Beautiful passage. Does our definition work? God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So in other words, born of a woman, born Jewish, to redeem those who were Jewish, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Yes, that works. That's exactly right. I mean, how else are you going to deal with Jesus being under the law? What, was he a legalist? Was he, you know, was he trapped in this system of legalism, Old Testament, you know, however these other terms under the law is understood in these other ways? But if you understand it as he was born Jewish, he was born Jewish, and he was, and for whom was he born? For whom was he sent? To redeem the Jewish people. That's what the Messiah's job is to redeem the Jewish people. All right, let's try another. We can skip up ahead to verse 21 in this same chapter. And remember the situation with Galatians is that Paul is addressing this epistle to God-fearing Gentile believers who have decided that they want to convert. They're under the influence of the influencers who are trying to convince them that it's not adequate to be a Gentile. They actually need to become Jewish. They need to go through a full conversion. And so Paul's scolding them, and he says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? So you who desire to be under the Torah, do you not listen to the Torah? And then he goes into this midrash on the story of Ishmael and Isaac. So once again, the question is, does this definition work under the law as being Jewish? Yes, absolutely. Tell me, you who desire to be Jewish, do you not listen to the Torah? Perfect. Perfect. And we should compare that with Galatians 5, verse 2, where he says, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, in other words, if you become Jewish, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. There it is. This is how I understand him to be using the term and where it comes from. Every man who accepts circumcision, in other words, every man who becomes Jewish, that he is obligated to keep the whole law. What does that mean? Well, just like I said, when you're not Jewish, you're not obligated to keep the whole law. There are certain commandments that apply specifically to the Jewish people. And the big one that's under discussion here is specifically circumcision. But it's more than just circumcision. All right, because that wouldn't make any sense if you said, if you allow yourself to be circumcised, you'll be obligated to get circumcised. That wouldn't work. You got to think logically, yeah?
So how is it that Oh,
well, because the idea here is that we are going to attain covenant status and be saved along with the Jewish people by joining the Jewish people. So then we're no longer relying on Messiah. You're not relying on Messiah it's not about faith in Messiah for salvation anymore or anything like this. It's, I have accomplished the works of the law by becoming Jewish. So he says, well, if that's the case, then Christ is of no value to you. What do you need him for? You did this whole thing by yourself. You're Jewish, you know. That's the implication there. All right, great. I think this is going tremendously well, don't you? How about verse 18? He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, and divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. All right. Okay. So, what happened here? If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This seems to be a problem for my... Doesn't that seem like a problem? What is that supposed to mean? If you are led by the Spirit, you are not Jewish. What? How does that work? Obviously, you couldn't be if you're led by the Spirit, you know, because if you're led by the Spirit, you must be a Christian and no longer Jewish. That's the implication of our translation. So, what's really going on here in this verse? Take a look at the flow of it as I put it on your sheet. And I want you to see that I did cross off one word from the translation. And I did add one interpolation. But I think the interpolation is completely justified, and the word I crossed off is not part of the Greek, so it's all good. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, even though you are not under the law, but the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. I don't know if you caught that, because the grammar, that isn't really the way we would talk if we're translating it that way. That's not the way we would put it. But here's the implication. We've come to the end of this Galatians argument. Paul knows that he knows what's going on. He knows people are objecting and say, oh, so you're just saying that the Gentiles, they don't have to do anything, huh? So they're not under the law. Okay, so they can just sin and go have adultery and murder and whatever. You know, people say this to me all the time, actually. And Paul says, no, that's not it at all. If you're led by the Spirit, even though you're not under the law, it's going to be obvious what's wrong and what's right. And then he's invoking all of these prophecies of the Messianic era, where the Spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh, and the Torah is written on our hearts, and it's going to be obvious, right? So this is how I understand this passage. In fact, I can't imagine how else to understand this passage. Nothing else seems to work for me. I've turned it sideways and upside down and looked at it from every possible angle, I think. So if you are led by the Spirit, even though you are not under the law, don't think that it's a free-for-all. If you're led by the Spirit, the works of the flesh are obvious, it's evident. sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. Okay. All right, let's try another one. This time I'm going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Of course. Sure.
That certainly lived in righteousness, or is that kind of wrong to say they're living in the spirit?
No. That's fine. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
I just feel like it's another justification to understand that.
Yeah.